B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli Show brought to us by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. Philly's getting pounded. It's 5-0. Victor Arano just got smashed out of the game. Our special guest right now is the man's been hanging around spring training all over the place, but especially here today, and we were watching the Bryce Harper simulated game session together. Jason Stark with us. Jason, how you doing today?
Mike, it's good to see a man in sunny Florida.
It's beautiful to be in sunny Florida. All right, so what was your take from the simulated game over there? He hit the first pitch he saw in the air to left field. He was late on it, and it carried out. And then he smashed one. He pulled one down the line. He hit it off the building. But for the most part, he was kind of just tracking pitches.
Yeah, and you know, this just reminded me, Mike, of really what he does, what he's at his best. It's not so much how hard he swings the bat. It's how disciplined he is about not swinging the bat when he doesn't get his pitch. And when Bryce is good, when he is going good, he has incredible plate discipline. We saw it today. And, you know, he was tracking the ball, but he does not chase. And that's going to serve him well in this lineup.
Yeah, he had some thunder throwers thrown at him today. He's minor league hosses getting it up there at 95 plus.
Yeah, they got the memo not to pitch high and tight.
But, yeah.
They do have a lot of arms in this system. They do.
All right. So let's talk about his impact here. And, you know, he's obviously the story. I was talking to him just a little while ago. I don't think he realizes the magnitude of his presence and what he's done for the Philadelphia fan base. I mean, we were on the air lamenting the Phillies losing him, and then 5 minutes later it was announced that they got him, and the town just turned upside down.
Yeah, that was 1 week ago, almost right now.
Right? Yeah.
And look, you and I both spent most of our lives in Philadelphia, right? And what people in Philadelphia expect to happen is Brett Brown announced, we're going star hunting. And he goes and visits LeBron. And LeBron is signed with the Lakers before he gets back to the hotel. Right? That's what everybody expects to happen with everybody. And it didn't happen that way with this guy. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. I just don't know the last time somebody of this magnitude in his sport, any sport, decided to sign with a team in Philadelphia. I mean, this is the face of the sport. If he's not the face, he's one of the faces. He moves the needle in a way that very few players in the sport do, and he's a Philly for 13 years, and you have seen that needle move, baby.
I mean, incredible. And he was talking about how much Philly felt like the right fit. Like, I never really would have gotten that impression. And I don't know whether he's just saying the right things now or whether it was really that much of a fit for him to come to Philadelphia. What's your feeling on that?
Look, I'm going to remind you of something. It was about the money. The first thing, the foremost thing it was about was $330 million.
Right, the most money out there.
It was the most money out there. It was the most money ever. Those things had to happen for him to come here or anywhere. I honestly believe, look, in a perfect world, he would have preferred to stay in Washington. He would have loved to be a Yankee because of his reverence for Mickey Mantle, lifelong reverence. Would have loved to have been a Dodger. He wasn't going to leave $200 million on the table to sign with the Dodgers. And that meant really his choice was here or the Giants. The Giants are going the wrong way. Their ballpark is brutal for left-handed hitters. And I honestly do think, I think you probably got a little taste of this today, his passion matches the passion of Philadelphia. That's not always going to be a great fit. You know, there are going to be times it's going to be a problem. But I do think Philadelphia will appreciate that about him, and he will appreciate it back.
Well, see, the thing is, we had a different impression of him, I think. I guess not knowing him and, like, talking to him, he seems like a perfect gentleman. But the perception was, you know, kind of a little bratty, a little snooty, a little this, a little that. Who's the real guy?
There are a lot of sides to him, but you saw the side that I think is what he really is. You know, I really like him. his appreciation of everything that came before him, that led him to this place, is really unique for players, you know, his age, his generation. When he talked about Roy Halladay the other day, that was real. That was the real him. He understands that. And I believe, I've asked him about this, he wasn't sure, but I believe he's the first player ever to go into Dodger Stadium a couple years ago and say, whoa, it's Vin Scully's last year. I got to go up to the booth and say hi to Vin. And then that started this procession of everybody doing it. And he's got that. He's got this incredible respect for the sport and the history of the sport. Look, it's easy to be this way now, you know, to be kind of laid back and thoughtful. And when you get caught up in the emotions of the season, you'll see some different sides of him. But I do really think that you saw the part of him that people like and respect the most.
You know what's great? He took three. You know, it didn't dawn on me that three was Babe Ruth's number for reasons that are unclear to me. But he did not mention that he took three for Babe Ruth, right?
No, he's never said
that. Would have lost him points, I think. But you think there's something to that three number that he took?
I asked him this question the other day at the press conference, and I knew he wouldn't answer what I'm sure he's been thinking. I asked him, look, you're a great student of baseball history. How important is it, how motivated are you to make history? Because I think this is a guy who wants to be an all-time great in the sport. I think he wants to be some kind of combination of Mickey Mantle, Barry Bonds, and LeBron. And the Mickey Mantle, Barry Bonds thing is he's in a park where I think he believes he can make home run history. Wouldn't shock me one bit. People say he'll hit 40. He's going to have a year where he hits a lot more than 40 in Citizens Bank Park. I really think so. So the Babe Ruth thing, that's lurking, baby.
I want to ask you, Jason, he has 13 years. Is it realistic for him to hit 400, 450 home runs over those 13 years? Seriously, is 400, if he that
500,
but that puts him at 586 for his career. If he hits 400 in these 13 years, is that realistic?
He's 26 years old, man.
Right,
it's just getting started. He's the second youngest player in their lineup. Think about it. Is that crazy? He's the second youngest guy in their lineup. I really think, unless things go terribly wrong, he's going to have a big run. I think he could potentially hit more than that. The park is an incredible fit for him. I don't know where it's leading. 13 years is way too long to comprehend. But I think he's thinking a lot more than 500. What was your number, 586?
Yeah, if he hits 400 here plus his 186 he has, that'd be 586.
I think he's thinking he's going to hit more than that.
Wow.
All right. That's okay by me.
But, yeah, right?
All right. What is this team? You know, it's funny. It's a weird spring training. Last year we came, it was like curiosity. what the new manager, what was he going to do? They've got a set lineup. They've got a really good offensive lineup. They've got two good starters up top, hopefully. And then three guys are going to have to kind of patchwork it together. Their bullpen looks like it's okay. What do you see right now? Is it too early to see what they are, or can you project?
I mean, I've only seen them two games, and I don't believe that the actual lineup has produced a run in either of those games.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the person who...
But they will. You know they will produce
I think
runs.
It's the best lineup in the league.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing that we've seen here that would suggest that. When I ask people, fill in this blank. Blank is going to have a huge year. You want to guess what name they came up with? It's a new guy.
McCutchen.
That's a good guess. I think he's going to have a good year, but it's JT Realmuto.
JT Realmuto.
He has really left an impression with everybody here. This guy is so involved in every part of the game. He rode a bus 5 hours the other day to catch Jake Arrieta. And that tells you something. He's a leader. He's a guy who pays incredible attention to detail. He's just getting better as an offensive player. So I'm really excited to see him. The other guy people have really been buzzing about to me is Arrieta. That what they saw the other day, they almost never saw that last year. The way the ball moved, the action on that slider, the action on that two-seamer was different. He's healthier. He's got a full spring. that completely changes the way you look at them. If he's great, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said he got back to his 3/4 sidearm delivery, that slot, and that whole bit, and that's what's doing it.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing I'll ask you is, and I asked you this last time, but we had you on last week. Your preferred lineup. Who leads off? Hernandez the leadoff.
The manager has been leading off Andrew McCutchen.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he lined it up 2 days ago, it was pretty clear, I thought, that Bryce is going to hit third. You almost want to leave this in Bryce's hands, don't you? You want to say, when you look in the mirror, you see a number three hitter? You see a number four hitter? You see a number two hitter?
I should have asked him that. That's the one question I didn't ask him. Where are you most comfortable hitting? Because I'm going to tell Gabe.
I've got good news. You got 13 years to ask it.
Yeah, I guess I do. I'm going to get it out of Kapler. He's coming up today. I'm getting it out of him. Okay, getting his lineup.
There you go. I think, look, there's going to be 140 of them. Doesn't matter. But I think he's thinking right now. McCutchen 1, Segura 2, Bryce 3, Hoskins 4, Real Muto 5.
That's the way I had it. All right.
Okay.
Put it on the lineup card. Put it on the board. Don't change it.
It's all set. If you and Gabe Kapler agree, well, nothing left to debate.
There you go. Jason, thanks for coming up. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to see you all in Clearwater.
There he is, the great Jason Stark. Where are we towards the... we have to get back to the phones, don't we? Everybody's talking Sixers, Jason. They lost last night. I don't know if you know.
That was a bad one.
They lost to the Bulls. What is going on?
I watched the fourth quarter of that. What?
That was terrible. All right, let's go back to the phones. People are killing the head basketball coach here. Dave in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, what's up, Jank?
What's up, Dave?
Tyrone. Bravo to you. Very impressed with your NASCAR knowledge, especially in regards to the number three. And I'm pretty sure this is a true story. Allen Iverson, growing up in Tidewater, Virginia, had an affinity for Dale Earnhardt Sr. in the black number three Goodwrench car, also known as the Intim. That is why he chose number three.
Get out. AI chose number three because of Dale Earnhardt.
I heard that before too.
Come on, Dave, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I got to vouch. He's big with the ball.
We'll check on that.
Mikey Miss, you were a visionary back in December of 2010. I remember. Jason Worth wanted $138 million over 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, they let Pat Burrell walk the year before in favor of Ibanez. They lose in the World Series to the Yankees. So you say very simple, release Chase Utley and give the money to Jason Worth. And you were spot on because Utley ended up holding the Phillies hostage with a thigh injury all that time. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies never replaced Jason Worth. Right-hand bat, and now he helped convince Harper to come to Philly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not so sure he did. He had more negative crap to say than positive. I think he wants to take credit for Harper being here when he actually was trying to sway him away, that rat.
Oh, wow.
Seriously,
wow.
That's what I did. I read the stories. All he talks about was how Philly's going to boo him. That get used to it because they're going to boo you. Well, they might not.
Wow.
I just told Bryce Harper he's got an immunity for a year from the boo. That he can go 0-4 with 4 strikeouts, and he won't get booed because he selected Philly.
Tyrone, the only guys right now that are on a pace for close to 600 are Cabrera and Trout. So I don't know what Harper's going to do, but hopefully he can. Hey, Natalie, are you going to have a chance to introduce yourself to Kayla Varner Harper, or is there not enough time?
If I see her, I'm going to say hello. And let her know that I'm around if she's here to hang out.
She might be shopping on the main line right now.
She might be.
Might be in Haddonfield. All right, thanks, Dave. Haddonfield, you gotta go by all those ordinances, right? Isn't that Haddonfield? You can't paint your house a certain color?
Really?
Yeah.
The whole town?
Yeah, because it's like a Victorian type of ordinance, or they have to keep it in the style of the Victorian homes, and like you can't paint a house purple if you wanted.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
I don't go to Haddonfield often.
I don't either, but I know some folks that were susceptible to the regulation.
So if you want a purple house, know
you
how
can't
to
have a
got
purple
it.
House.
What if Bryce Harper wants a purple
you gotta
house?
You got to have the muted colors.
Okay.
In Haddonfield.
Well, if Bryce wants a purple house, he's not going to end up in Haddonfield.
Right. All right. Let's go to Scott in Philly. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Scott?
DJ. Yeah, I haven't called in a long time. I'm sure the weather's down there. You're not on TV today, I don't see.
Not on TV today. The game's on TV, I think, isn't it?
Yes. But I went out because I wanted to hear you. So I'm sitting in the parking lot.
They could have slapped the camera. They're televising the game. They could have slapped the camera our way and, like, split the screen, maybe.
That's what I was hoping for.
I know.
Hanging behind it. You can't. Yeah. But I want to make 2 points. Probably all over the place. I'll start out with the Phillies. I mean, now that all is said and done, I'm so happy we got him. But I got a little bit depressed last week in the last month or so when he said he didn't want to come to Philly. I mean, can we take a little poll and find out who wrote those stories? I mean, I never really believed in fake news, but it seems like possible now.
Well, there were a lot of guys that reported stuff, and we had Ken Rosenthal on. He said he was embarrassed for his profession that a lot of guys had put out stuff that wasn't accurate. And in this day and age, this is the falling of social media is that anybody can put something out on social media and not be accountable for it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because who do you sue? You don't sue anybody. Yeah, it used to be in the old days when I worked for a newspaper. You put something out, you're getting sued.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't have much time, but I was here when Dr. J came. You know what I mean? And I was holding my 6-month-old baby when he did a dunk over Darnell Hillman. And I was never the same after that.
But yeah, I got
to my
Darnell
sister's point, if I may.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I'm so grateful for what happened, but I don't think they have enough time to mesh. I really don't.
Yeah.
For the playoffs. Right. And I'm just wondering if we can, and I want to thank Tyrone, because I was the guy that never talked to too many people about what I thought. But I thought, what's his name, was a good coach too, Mark Jackson. I thought he got Golden State where they belong, but you made a good point about that. And that's what I got to do in sports and in my life, is keep an open mind and remain teachable. But with all these guys here, if we could sign him again, and I don't want Jay Wright. I don't want him to, you know, a lot of people have gone from the college to pros and burn out and some type of thing. It's a different thing, you know.
But I think he'd want to have a better coach. I actually think he'd be good at it. I think he could... He would understand the players a lot better than a lot of guys.
No, I think you're right about that. And I think that tactically, he does a lot of stuff at Nova. He does a lot of professional style stuff at Nova. The way he used DiVincenzo last year is why DiVincenzo ended up a first round pick. Because guys said, if he could do that here, we could get him to do that same stuff up here.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't it work?
Yeah. And I'm also surprised we're not on TV today because of the poll you had with NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson was rocking a backpack that had the NBC Sports Philadelphia logo on it. He's also got all kinds of gear.
He has a rain jacket.
They gave me a rain jacket.
He's got a lot of gear with Sports Philadelphia stuff on it. Natalie, how much do you have?
I don't have any, Mike. What do you have?
I don't have a thing.
You don't?
No, and I'm thinking, you know, we're on 4 hours a day. Maybe we can get a backpack.
It is the Missinelli show on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Maybe get a jacket, some gear, some kind of gear thrown our way.
Now, I said I'd like a nice hat. Mm-hmm.
So this is what, I don't know about the hats. I don't know if they have hats.
Oh.
But I'll make sure you guys get the backpacks, because the backpacks are the best item of all the items.
Uh-huh.
It's good size. It's comfortable. I have a bunch of equipment in there in case we had to record an interview. Yeah. That's right in the bag with my laptop and room for change of clothes. It's spectacular.
I'm just saying, it's not really the point of the backpack. It's the point that we got snubbed and they heaped a bunch of stuff on you.
They heaped it up on a bunch of us.
As far as I can tell, I'm on the air 4 hours to your one.
I'm on a half hour.
Then we're on for 8 hours.
They probably should get.
Yeah.
The truck is here too. I tried actually the other day. I said, listen, you just set up one camera. Uh-huh. It's because that's where you will be stationary. They told me no, so I don't have that much pull.
Also, last night on the airplane, Tyrone may have been in the middle of a little snafu. last night that we'll talk about a little later.
Oh, man. The
duct tape incident on the airplane last night. Tyrone, like, had, right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
And so was I, unbeknownst to me, yes. when they moved my my carry-on bag to parts unknown
yes.
and didn't even tell me.
Yeah, I had to go up and tell you that they were moving your bag.
Yeah, we'll get to that story eventually. Let's get Gary in Clayton, New Jersey. Gary, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gary.
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Gary?
The Sixers. Here's the bottom line. You got a lot of egos on this team. You got Ben Simmons, who wants to look cool 24/7. It's going to be very hard to win because there's a number of me guys. And you see it when they have a big lead. There's a lack of discipline. You know, there's a lack of discipline in shot selection. There's a lack of discipline with turnovers. They just don't play smart. Is that Brett Brown? Yeah, part of it is, I mean, it starts with the head coach, and it filters down. But in defense of Brett Brown, it's not a cup of tea to coach these guys either. I mean,
explain what you mean by me guys, because I don't quite get that point.
This is what I mean, and I don't know for sure, but who needs the ball in their hands in crunch time? You know, who's going to accept that role of being the scorer, being the guy, not being the guy? You know, you got Embiid.
You've seen it play out. They've taken the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands in crunch time and given it to Butler.
And that's because Ben Simmons doesn't look cool in that situation.
No, it's because Ben Simmons can't shoot free throws in the end. So they're perfectly fine. But how is a guy gets 11 assists a game?
I'm not talking about Ben Simmons. I'm talking about Butler.
Well,
you
mentioned Ben Simmons as a me guy. I'm going, he gives it up. He's a guy who gives it up first.
Well, he doesn't have any confidence in a shooting. That's why.
Yeah, but he also gets to the basket a lot. I mean, how many points does he account for during the course of a game?
But, Mike, he's not going to do that against Boston. He's not going to do that against the good teams.
They're not going to play Boston.
J.J. Redick's not going to get open like he does in the playoffs.
Oh, so what do you want? I mean, what are you asking? Like, what do you want to do?
Here's the bottom line. Do they look disciplined to you?
They turn the ball over a little bit too much. It's because he wants to play fast all the time. I agree with some points of your complaints, but what are you going to do about it now? You got to see if your team is good enough to get it done right now.
Right. All I'm saying is it looks like Butler, I don't know how cohesive Butler, Embiid, Harris, Redick, I just don't know. I question it. That's the bottom line. I question it.
All right. Well, I mean, you're fair to question it. Everybody's questioning it now. I'm even questioning it now. When they acquired all those players, I was fully in, and now I'm starting to wobble like a Weeble. Weeble's wobble.
But they don't
fall down. So I'm not falling down yet. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Phil's losing 5-0 here to the Yankees as we go to the top of the 8th inning. And Phil's offense has not come around yet. We're back after this on 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's 3:33 right here live at Spectrum Field, Clearwater, Florida. Mike Mussinelli Show broadcasting live. Yeah, he's just tattooing the Phils today. Man. We're going to have Rhys Hoskins come into the booth in a little bit. The thing about the Phillies is that they haven't played their straight lineup yet. You know, I guess they're trying to look at guys early. So next week probably starts when they get their starters in their straight lineup. The broadcast today is made possible by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, providing contractors throughout the Delaware Valley with equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. We still have Reese Hoskins coming up. The skipper, Gabe Kapler, will be on the show today. We'll talk some basketball with Tim Legler a little later in the show. And right now it is time for an update on our Twitter poll.
Yes.
Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
All righty. Over 1,600 votes on this. Who or what lost the Sixers game last night? The options were Brett Brown, Mike Scott, or defense. 39% blaming Brett Brown. 12% blaming Mike Scott. 49% blaming the defense.
Well, listen, he's in a no-win situation now. There's no way he can get the fan base back unless they do something magnificent in the playoffs. Now, last year, I recall we had the same, you know, kind of doubts. And then they went in and they played a great series against Miami. And then they gave it back with the Boston series. But after the Miami series, things were percolating. There, people weren't talking about firing Brett Brown after that Miami series.
No, in fact, they were favored in that Boston series. And they were favored in every game. Yeah. Even though they lost the series in five, they were favored in every single game. And that's what made people frustrated, because once they were favored, people thought, just like with Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb, if you're favored, you're supposed to win. And I'm a little bit afraid that might happen again. They look good against the Nets or Detroit. They go into Toronto flying high. People feel good about it, and then
all right, let's go to Charlie and Ventnor. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charlie.
Hey, Mike, great show, buddy. I look forward to listening to you guys every day when I come home.
Thanks, Charlie.
Listen, there's a lot of blame to go around, Brett Brown included. But I've looked at this last 3 minutes now four different times today on the tape, okay? And if you really look at it, it starts with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. Ben Simmons takes that offensive foul. And at first, I didn't think it was an offensive foul last night, but in looking at it two or three times, he did pull the guy down, okay?
Yeah.
So he takes that offensive foul. That's one turnover, right? But with a minute 52, they're still up by four.
Yep.
Okay? Now, With 50, they're up by two with 58 seconds left. Ben Simmons makes a great steal. Okay? Mm-hmm. I know you played basketball all your life, Polly, like I have. Mm-hmm. And as a point guard, when you're up by two with 58 seconds left in the game, you better have a wide open layup, or the guy ahead of you better be wide open. Okay? You should take that boy out front, work that clock. 54 seconds down. He went up against two guys and end up throwing the ball out behind the baseline. Big turnover. So he had two turnovers in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's not. Go ahead.
They misplayed. They misplayed that pick and roll horribly. They look like they've never played basketball before on that pick and roll.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, I'm not a Brett Brown fan. But, you know, anybody that played basketball, when you're up by two with 58 seconds left in the game, slow it up. He went up against two guys. Bring it out.
Yeah, you got to factor in a 24-second clock, though. You don't work.
Yeah.
54 seconds to go, you're not exactly working a clock. It's not to your advantage to work a clock.
Sure it is.
No,
sure
it's
is.
Not. It's not
you
really. Now with 54 seconds left.
He went up against two guys. You guys hate to criticize this kid. He's a great player. He's going to be great for us.
He makes mistakes. I can tell you, he makes mistakes. He's not a seasoned player yet. Which we have
absolutely
a foul ball come up the wall.
Straight back up, right? Almost came in.
We had a foul ball that cracked off our window, man.
But you're taught, unless you got a wide open shot, you got the lead. You got the lead.
Yeah, it's not college, though. You're not in the NBA, 24 seconds is you're not working the clock. The worst you can do, they get the ball back in 40 seconds anyway. What's the difference? I'm not trying to stick up for him, because he does not make heady point guard plays, because he's not a heady point guard yet. He's a player. He's not a general yet. He still has to learn to be a general. All he knows is his speed and his size advantage and getting to the basket and being able to deliver for two. He's not a point guard that's going to, okay, this is what we do. You get here, you get there, you get there. That's not the type of point guard he is. That doesn't mean you can't win with him.
Right. Young point guards make a lot of mistakes, and we obviously focus on him. Other young point guards make this. Chris Paul used to make the same kind of mistakes early in his career. This is only year two for him playing in the NBA. It's hard to be a great point guard in the NBA. And it's going to take him some time. That doesn't mean he can't. Also, it doesn't mean he can't adjust, can't learn.
Yeah. All right. The Sixers were up 98-88 with 6:01 to go. Yeah. Now, that's a good team locks the game down against a bad team when you're up by 10 with 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Really. And so they gave that game away last night. It was a terrible loss. I can't say anything that it wasn't a terrible loss. All right, let's take a break. I don't know if you heard that crack live on radio. But a foul ball came up and smashed a window in our booth. And it's obviously shatterproof glass.
Thank goodness. That would have been bad.
That was like a cannonball.
That would have whacked you right in the face, Mike.
I know. I didn't even see it. I just heard it. All right. 610-632-0975. And Yael De Los Santos had a good inning there. He was pumping.
There you go.
He had good gas in that last inning. For those people, they're playing against guys with number 95 right now.
I see.
So we're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yes, we are live from Clearwater Spectrum Field. Phillies and the Yankees are in the bottom of the eighth inning right now, and it's a sparse crowd, shall we say.
Yeah, it was jam-packed early.
It was jam-packed early, and the people have kind of filtered out. No offense for the Fighting Phils today. We'll have Reese Hoskins, and he'll decide. He'll give us the lowdown on why.
Yeah.
And that's coming up. He's coming up very shortly. Meanwhile, let's go back to the phones. We got Wanda in Mount Airy checking in. What's up, Wanda? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Wanda.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Wanda.
Lifelong Phillies fan from a baseball family, and I'm calling because I think as Phillies fans and as members of this sports city, we need to sometimes self-reflect and be honest, and I'm calling about Bryce Harper.
Uh-huh.
Because when he entered the league, from my perspective, given that he was also with the Mets, but he was very young, but he was also just volatile. He was difficult. Let's just be honest about that, and maybe that's a part of youth, and maybe that's part of passion, and we all love that. But
yeah, he was a little cocky. He had a cockiness to him.
No, it wasn't just cocky. He's for a tantrum. Oh, come on.
Well, where was he arrogant? Give me details of that.
He's for tantrums. There were articles. All you have to do is, Tyrone, pull up the articles. I mean, in his first year, even Jason Wirth was trying to, like, make him carry the bag ball or whatever.
Oh, he was 19. He was a brash
19. I understand. And so what I'm trying to tell you is I'm glad he's here. I'm a Phillies fan. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Philadelphian. Yeah. He's older. But I just think that in some of the previous segments, you guys were like, oh, he's so great, and isn't he lovely? And of course he is, because he's grown some, but also because now he's ours.
Well, exactly right. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. He is ours now. So
I mean,
is Wanda gone?
Wanda.
Wanda was she upset?
Wanda was
What's
upset.
What's up, man? It's Reese Hoskins popped into the booth. As we were talking to Wanda, Wanda was a little hot, Reese. About Bryce for some reason.
Huh.
But Reese Hoskins is in the booth, and Reese, how's it going so far?
Good.
Yeah, how's spring training?
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good to be back out there.
I'm
trying to get into a rhythm. But.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you about that. You know, early on, they're playing a lot of different guys, so your lineup is not intact right away, so we can see this offense explosion. Pitchers ahead of the hitters normally about this time?
I would say so, yeah. I think, actually, as a general statement, I think spring training is for pitchers.
Uh-huh.
Right? They need to, I think more specifically for starters, they need to get their arm conditioned. But I think the last, like, 2-3 weeks, 2 weeks,
you know, where we can get maybe 8 to 10 at bats in a row, get 18 innings under our belt in a row, kind of feel that rhythm. I think that's when you start to see guys get more comfortable. I think we're trying to, me specifically, I'm trying to put myself into different counts in different situations. Right now, I want to feel what it's like to hit with two strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get comfortable with that. Just little things like that that you don't normally do during the season.
Yeah, so
obviously.
Are you intentionally getting that two strike count so you can work on it?
There are times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if I go 1-0, maybe I want to see a certain pitch, or if there's nobody on, and maybe I want to take a couple to see, okay, if I do go 0-2, can I take the curveball that he throws in the dirt and then, you know, not swing at the pitch that's up, and then now I'm 2-2 and now we're battling.
What's the difference now with this camp? Last year, the left field situation, now it's the first base situation. And everybody's asking you the same question, but what exactly is the level of comfort?
It's getting there. Look, I think I took a year off from the dirt. There are little nuances, especially at first base, footwork stuff, being around the bag again, you know, feeling runners coming down the line, that type of thing that comes with reps. And I told our new infield coach, Bobby Dickerson, when I got here, I told him, look, I want to work. I want to work and work and work. I feel like I'm behind with reps. And I feel like I need to kind of make up some of that. And so we've been working, and we're doing we're doing a ton of stuff on the half field, but it's kind of hard to replicate the game reps.
Is it harder on the body defensively on the dirt from where you were last year?
No. And that might be because I'm more used to it.
Yeah.
It's something that I've done most of my career. It's different though. It's way different. You know, first base is quicker move. It's quick. You know, you're in a squat, that type of thing. The outfield obviously is a lot more sprint work.
And you're talking to some people out there, maybe. You have conversations out there, maybe.
Mostly hand gestures, yes. Laughing, nodding, things like that.
All right, you haven't been back in Philadelphia yet, so you don't know what's going on. But right now, it's Philly centric. I mean, it's unbelievable that it was a good team before the latest circumstance.
Yeah.
But he flipped the town on its ear, and I don't know if you can understand that. I don't think he understands it yet. But this has turned back into a baseball town,
yeah.
Because of this.
Yeah, I get that from some of the questions that we've gotten, hearing some guys talk about the past, right? And I think, like you said, I think deep down this town is a baseball town. Obviously, the Eagles have been very successful. The Sixers are a ton of fun to watch with all the good players they have. But it seemed like throughout all that, the town was yearning and longing for good baseball. And we saw that last year, right? In the middle of the year when, you know, we were sitting atop the standings and we were playing some of the powerhouses in baseball, people showed out. And you kind of felt that energy, and it's kind of like, okay, here we go.
There are teams that know they're good. Have you guys gotten to that point yet where you're in that clubhouse and you know you're a contender?
I think so. I think you look around that clubhouse and you know the type of players, what some of these guys have done in their career, some of the exciting young talent that we have, the exciting young arms, you know, some of the bullpen pieces that we added, and you can kind of see the makings of something that's pretty special. I think, like you kind of alluded to at the beginning, we kind of all haven't been on the field at the same time, so we haven't really seen it happen in game situations, but I can tell you one thing, I'm more than excited to see it.
Yeah, well, the parallel is 2008. Where, you know, that team was very offensive, like you guys are going to put that lineup out. They beat teams. They got up early on them. Mm-hmm. They were never out of games. They always had rallies. They were scoring 5, 6, 7 runs a game. And it's kind of like the same parallel. You guys, your pitching staff is not quite certain from 3, 4, 5 yet. The 1 and 2 people are comfortable with. But your bullpen is good, and their bullpen was good. It's kind of the same thing all over again. Do you feel this is a team that's going to have to out-hit teams? On a consistent basis?
You know, honestly, I don't. We're going to score runs. And I think one thing that's going to be really cool about this lineup is it's probably going to be a new guy every night. We're just so dangerous. I don't think that you can – obviously it's baseball, but I don't think that you can consistently get through this whole lineup without somebody getting you. But with, you know, those younger arms that are in the back end of our rotation, they have some of the best stuff on the staff. And I think with a year, like for Pivetta, for instance, right, he had a full year under his belt. He kind of got to learn what it was like to pitch in the big leagues at a high level. He got to learn from Jake, which I think has helped him tremendously. And I'm excited to see what it's going to turn out to be. Him, Vinny, you know, we'll see who's going to take the fifth spot, but those guys are exciting to watch as any of our guys.
You were a major player in the Bryce Harper thing in that people were coming to you for inside scoop, right? You know, you're represented by the same guy. What's going on? Everybody assumed you knew what was going on.
They assumed,
and it
right?
had to be tiring, right?
Look, I think it's exciting, first of all, just the fact that we're in the conversation to get a guy like that. It was fun. I think you have to have fun with it. If you look at it as something that's tiring, then it just becomes an annoyance, and that is not fun to deal with.
All right, so he's here. The day that he signed, what was the reaction among all you guys? You were playing. The game was a game, right? It was going on.
I actually was you not. Were, I was not home. Playing.
Okay.
There was a kind of a sigh of relief, a little bit of disbelief. I think it had kind of gotten to the point where we kind of thought, is this ever going to end? Mm-hmm. Is he ever going to sign? He did. Sigh of relief, ton of excitement. You get to insert a guy that like that into your lineup and onto your team.
You had no curiosity during this whole thing? To call Boros, what's going on? To call Bryce, what's going on?
Curiosity, sure. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But you don't want to bother anybody.
But I think there's a level of respect you know, amongst us players. I'm sure he was getting hounded by everybody.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, I reached out to him quite early in the offseason and just offered a perspective on what it's like to play in the city, what it's like to play for Gabe and that type of thing. And if he felt like he needed it, I told him he was more than welcome to reach out and we could talk about whatever he needed.
All right. So now here's the lineup situation. Gabe tinkered a lot last year, mm-hmm. trying to find something. Guys were in different spots all the time. A lot of people thought that was disconcerting. This is a lineup that you can kind of stick on a wall, isn't it? I mean, is that the way you guys see it, that you want to hit in certain spots and there are certain spots that are perfect for every guy on this team?
It does look like that right now. Look, I don't have a preference where I hit. I've predominantly hit in the middle of the lineup, you know, throughout my career. But we have guys now that have done a ton of hitting over their career and maybe they're more comfortable in spots. And I think that's kind of what you use spring training for, right? Like you've seen Kutch lead off a couple games. You've seen him hit second. You've seen him hit third. I think it's one of those things where you're trying to find out where he's most comfortable hitting with the guys that are in our lineup compared to some of the guys that he's hit with, you know, in the past.
I would call you maybe the Renaissance man of this team. The guy that you know, has different interests. I know you've done some different things. What did you do this off season that was interesting?
I traveled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to Japan. With MLB, which is pretty cool. Got to see that culture and experience that firsthand. Other than that, I stayed in Philly. And I kind of tried to get to know that city when we have a lot more time. And I loved it. Obviously, the winter is a bit different than what I'm used to in California. But I don't mind it. I don't mind it. And I was able to get all the work that I needed to get done. Enjoy the food of the city, which... there is a ton of good food.
Great restaurants.
Yeah,
great
ton of good town. Food. And I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface. But
what's the next adventure for you? What's on your bucket list, adventure-wise?
I'm getting married in November.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm getting married in November. We're actually trying to decide what the honeymoon's going to be.
You've been engaged for a long time, haven't you?
August.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
But you've been together for a
really long time. Yeah, since high school. So... uh-huh. We've floated around the idea of the Philippines, South Africa, which those are quite different, trying to decide if we want to relax or if we want to adventure. So we'll see.
Adventure's always good.
Yeah.
Listen, man, congratulations, and go get them next week, I guess. We'll see the lineup on the field together.
Where yeah, it should be exciting.
It's McCutchen, Segura, Harper, you, Realmuto, Herrera, Franco, Hernandez.
That's your bet.
That's it.
Right now.
I'm getting that,
that's opening
Gage
day.
Coming on a little later.
So you're going to get confirmation?
To commit for that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Reese Hoskins, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. We'll take a quick break. Come back after this, right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.